Thank you, Grace. Regarding the sleeping bags, one has already been given to a homeless person who walked into one of our Wednesday night prayer meetings. So one has been given out already. We are going through the book of Matthew, and I think we'll spend most of our year in 2019 on the book of Matthew with the theme of God's kingdom. Today we're on chapter 5 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a short text. Let's read Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Romans said that all roads lead to Rome, and one of the busiest roads that led to Rome was Via Salaria, the salt route, over which merchants drove ox carts full of salt. In ancient Rome, a soldier's pay consisted in part of salt, which came to be known as solarium argentum, and from which we get the word salary. So a soldier's salary was cut if the soldier was not worth his salt. That's the expression. Did you ever wonder why Jesus used salt? Why did he say we are to be the salt of the earth? Why not sugar? You are the sugar of the world. How can sugar, if sugar loses its sweetness, how can it be made sweet again? Would that be the same message? I think one reason why Jesus used salt instead of sugar was that salt was the most common seasoning in every ancient household. Salt was not cheap, and yet every household used salt because we all need salt. And we know how meat and even vegetables taste better with salt. But very few people in ancient days had sugar in their house. Sugar was much more scarce and much more expensive. Both salt and lamp were common items in every household. And Jesus used what was very common in everyday life to make his points. Another reason may be that salt made a good antiseptic. In ancient days, people didn't have toothpaste, so they cleaned their teeth with salt. And the ancient people knew that salt can kill germs. In fact, the Roman goddess of health, Salus, derives its name from sal, which is salt. Another reason may be that salt prevents food from decay. Since the ancient folks didn't have refrigerators, they used salt, as we know, to preserve food. And then Jesus says that we are the light of the world. We are to shine our good deeds to others. The salt and light text serve as, they function as a parallel, which go together. And there are three things that these two metaphors have in common. The first common thing is that both salt and light tells us something about this world that we live in. Salt is needed because of decay. When Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth, it implies that this world has a tendency to decay, not just physically, but spiritually. The world left to itself will deteriorate. It cannot stop itself from going bad. And that's what the Bible says about this world. Though the world was created good, it fell. the world will naturally bend toward sin, evil, and corruption. And light is needed because there is darkness. When Jesus says that we are the light, it implies that this world is a dark place. Jesus says in John 3:19, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed." Some people are worried that our society is getting more unequal, more polarized, more violent, and more evil. But, you know, Pastor Jim Bob, who was a guest speaker to one of our retreats, he says, well, the world is just doing its job. The world is supposed to be dark. There are just too many examples of decay, corruption, and evil and darkness in our world. Some people believe that internet and technology would promote democracy, would bring build a worldwide community and build a better society. But recent events showed the dark side of internet and technology. Cambridge Analytica misused more than 50 million Facebook users' data without permission. The Russians used Facebook to spread fake news, suppress voter turnout, and to divide our nation. Google and Facebook collected personal data and sold them to advertisers without our permission. It's an unethical business model. And even Roger McNamee, the former mentor to Mark Zuckerberg and an early investor in Facebook, he said on NPR that it is a questionable business model. A guy named Gulliam Chazla, this his story was also on NPR. He was a true believer when he joined the YouTube, which is part of Google, in 2010. And he thought that if people were more connected and everyone could say what was on their mind, this world would be a better place. But he began to notice that at YouTube, the goal was not really to connect people, but to make people stay and watch the videos as long as possible. He also noticed that people tended to get only one point of view on a topic and not always the right one. And when he tried to create an algorithm that would show different points of view, his bosses were not interested, and he quit Google not long after. Homeless people are increasing in many cities because of fossil fuel emissions. The climate is changing. In the Far East and even in Southeast Asia, the air quality is getting worse and worse. Toxic algae is increasing in our lakes, in our oceans, because of all the chemical fertilizers we use to farm. Speaking of salt, scientists recently found in different parts of the oceans that there were plastic fibers inside sea salt. There's just way too many plastics in our ocean. Wild animals are losing their habitat because of human activity. And worldwide, more authoritarian regimes are emerging. Our society is becoming less civil, more polarized, more extreme, and more hardened and entrenched in our own views. So our world is dark, and it's supposed to be that way. It's just doing its job. Second common thing that the salt and light have is they describe who we are, who Christians are. Jesus said that we are the salt and light of the world. He didn't say you will become the salt, you will become the light, but it says that we already are, because we are blessed with the beatitudes of Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are united with Christ. We are joined to Christ, and we receive the life and character of Jesus. And if we are united to Christ, We are poor in spirit. We are the ones who mourn for the sin and evil of the world. We are the meek ones. We are the ones who hunger and thirst for God's kingdom and righteousness. We are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and we are the persecuted for the sake of Christ. Jesus is the light, and he came to us, and he shone God's light into our hearts, and not only exposed the sin in our hearts, but he also cleansed our sin. He made our hearts pure. He cleansed our hearts, and with the light, we can see God's face. We can have intimate relationship with God. And as the life of Christ grows, our character becomes more like the character of Christ. Christ is the source of our saltiness. He's the source of our light. And it's amazing what salt can do. You spread just a bit of salt on food or meat, and just little amount of salt can prevent the whole food from decaying. And you just put one single lamp in a room, and it lights the whole room. Salt and lamp have outsized influence on their surroundings. And if Christians are the salt of the earth, though we are a minority, we are to prevent the society from further decay and corruption. We are to have an outsized influence. If we are the light of the world, we are to shine the good news and good deeds to people around us so that they will give praise to God. And that brings us to the third point. The third common thing that salt and light have is that they show our mission in the world. The salt has no value when it loses its saltiness. And we're not to lose our saltiness. We are to maintain our peculiarity, our distinctiveness as God's people, as a kingdom community. Christian saltiness is Christ-like character as described in the Beatitudes. Our peculiarity is Christ-likeness. The influence Christians can have on society depends on our being different, not on our being identical with the world. Just by being a Christian, just by displaying the character of Christ, we prevent the society from further decay, and we show another way of living. There are two scholars, influential scholars and pastors, William Willimon and Stanley Hauerwas. They wrote this, the challenge of the church is to allow ourselves to be utterly shaped and filled by the culture of God's kingdom, that wherever we are, whether gathered for worship or scattered for service elsewhere, we never lose our distinctiveness. To meet one of us in the marketplace or in the school or in neighborhood ought to turn heads and prompt questions and inspire desire to know from what other nation we come. While maintaining our distinctiveness, we are to shine the light to others. The light we shine are the good deeds that would cause people to praise God, and they are the deeds that flow out of the Beatitudes. They flow out of the blessings that we have received from Christ. They are good deeds of justice and mercy, deeds of compassion, of love, and care. And since light is a common biblical symbol of truth, our shining includes telling the good news, sharing the gospel, telling others about Jesus, and teaching the biblical truths are good deeds that give glory to God. And Apostle Peter echoes the call of Jesus in his letter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, he says, almost verbatim, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visit. And he includes the sharing, the articulation of the gospel as good deeds. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. If the Beatitudes describe our character, the disciples' character, the salt and light metaphor indicate the influence we have in the world. For Christians to have an influence, the salt must be moved out of the salt shaker, and the bowl must be removed from the light, from the lamp. How ridiculous would it be if we have lots of salt on table, but we never use them to season our meat? How ridiculous would it be if we have a lamp in a room, but we put a bowl over it to cover its light? But that's the point. Such ridiculous thing is what we are tempted to do. We are the salt, and yet we want to stay in the salt shaker. We want to stay within the comfortable walls of the church, and we do not venture out into the pagan world. We are the light, and yet we are tempted to put a bowl over us. We want to keep a low file and just hang out with other Christians, and we develop our own Christian subculture, and we separate ourselves from the rest of the world. But when we look at Jesus, he did the opposite. It was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes who wanted to hang out by themselves. They wanted to separate themselves from others. But Jesus hung out with the sinners. He hung out with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He attended many parties, and he earned the nickname of a party animal from the Pharisees. Jesus sought out sinners and tax collectors, and it was the Pharisees and Sadducees who were offended. In a Christian magazine called Discipleship Journal, there was a short but a catching article by Sue Klein, and it began with this sentence: "My name is Sue, and I am a slacker." And that is how she would sum up herself as a lover of her community. She had made a few attempts to be the salt and light in her community, but they were short-lived. And she resigned herself to permanent community-loving slughood, she says. Then she attended a conference in Seattle called Out of the Christian Ghetto. The first day was called Immersion into the Culture. People were bombarded with our culture's music, arts, movies, and literature. And she heard the culture accusing Christians. But she also heard the heart cry of the world behind those accusations. And it broke her heart. She realized that all her previous efforts to serve were about her. She did not really love her community. She just loved the idea of being a good disciple. At the gathering, Sue heard the cry of her community and fell in love with people around her. And at last, it was not about her. At one point in conference, people were asked, "What do you love to do?" Within the realm of our interests, there are a dozen points of contact with our community. Love music? Join a local band. Love softball? Join a local league. She liked books, so she joined a local book club. And she was surprised to find that in modern secular literature, there were great themes like redemption, meaning of life, the longing for hope, the power of mercy. Often the discussion with these non-believers resonated with her own faith. And she also made a friend with whom she could have a spiritual conversation and share her faith. She sensed that God was at work in her group and that she is doing what she loves to do. And all she had to do was just show up. Is there some place in your community, in your school, in your workplace where you can just show up? Just by being a faithful Christian, just by being who you are, you can influence someone and draw that person closer to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's first pray that we would not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but that we would maintain our distinctiveness as followers of Christ, and that we would be transformed by the renewing of our hearts and our minds. Help us to be the salt and light of the world. Lord, help us not to be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, of our hearts. Help us to be transformed as we remain in you, as we have a deeper relationship with you. Lord, help us to have an influence in this world. Help us to show who you are, and help us to shine the light of the gospel and light of good deeds to others, so that people would praise you because of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.